Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, 205, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I just had to get off my chest. I was arguing with Sean Marash about it. It's just, and me and Fleegs were just talking about it. And Fleegs isn't a big Boone defender. Like, he kind of mocks me with my over-the-top Boone love affair sometimes. And even he would tell you. It isn't done. I'm not blowing my top relievers and not having them for a Sunday possible to protect a lead so that I can try and keep it close. And still, Chapman came in and threw 103 miles an hour past everybody in the ninth. I'm not wasting Devin Williams so I can lose by one run. I'm just not doing it. It's not World Series game two. It's game two of a series in June. Like, I'm not doing it. Even if it was Sunday, I'm more open to it because the next day is an off day. But, like, I'm not doing it on this. That's crazy. Hamilton is the guy to go to. That's just it. He's got to get outs. That's the bullpen. That's who Aaron Boone is given to go get through things. He's got to be able to go to guys that we don't, like, you know. And again, Hamilton was a big part of the bullpen last year. He struggled this year. His last three appearances prior didn't give up any runs. Like, you got to be able to get outs against the back end of the lineup on the Boston Red Sox and give me three outs and get me to the ninth. I can't throw my closer in that spot. The amount of people who think they should is absolutely crazy. We're overreacting and treating every game like it's the World Series. It's not. The next game means as much. And then because he's not needed in that game, suddenly it's even more so. Oh, well, see, you didn't even end up using him. I don't have, nor does Aaron Boone, have a crystal ball. Rodon's on the mound. He's been their best pitcher, arguably, if you take into account the bad start from Fried against the Dodgers. He's had less blow-ups than Fried has over the last month.
Wasn't there a game, like, in the last 2 to 3 weeks where Weaver was used, obviously, before he got hurt,
mm-hmm.
in a game that it wasn't necessary? Not the one where he was used against the Dodgers, where he was used, and then he wasn't available the next day, and Williams had to close.
Yes.
And we took calls for a couple hours. People killed Boone.
100%. People killed Boone because Weaver came in with a 4-run lead against the Angels.
Right, that was it.
He came in with a 4-run lead against the Angels. And everybody flipped out because the next day, Weaver had to close a 3-run lead. I mean, Williams had to close a 3-run game, and they almost lost by a run. And everybody was up in arms about how do you use your closer with a 4-run lead.
So, and that was a game where he had already been warming, because I don't think they had the 4-run lead yet. Wasn't that it? They built it late. Like, he was already
right.
Warming up.
Yes, I think that's the case.
Like,
yeah.
Manager, we talk about what what we said during the break was the fans don't acknowledge. You can fire Boone. You bring in anybody else, new age. They're going to do the same thing. They treat that one-run deficit up until September or October like, all right, we just throw somebody out there. It'll change on a dime if you tie the game. Then, okay, now the closer can come in, high-leverage guys. But a one-run deficit is like what a four-run deficit used to be.
Right.
They don't think about, you know, they hope they keep it close. It's not necessary.
Yeah.
The guy warming up in the bullpen is treated almost like, okay, I've started using him today, so you might as well get the full burn.
And to be fair to that argument, as you're mentioning it, while they had, because in the bottom of the eighth, they scored two runs and had the tying run on second base, and Williams was warming. To be fair, to your point, because you certainly wouldn't use him if he wasn't warming, but Williams was warming in case they tied the game. When they didn't, he sat down. And that's what he should have done. And yeah, to your point, we're never happy. Because I'm telling you right now, if Williams pitched that game and kept it at one run, and the Yankees lost by a run because Chapman went through them like a hot knife through butter in the ninth, like he did in the game, and then... You know, Cruz, who hasn't been good since he came back, has to close the game. Or Leiter has to close the game. Or Jonathan Loaisiga has to close the game on Sunday and gets beat. We are going to be screaming. Screaming.
Your show yesterday would have been nothing but calls about that for 3 hours.
Why did we pitch Williams in a loss and didn't have him to save the game? We would have been apoplectic blaming Boone for not having Williams available to close out a win. It's just stupid. And to the point, which is a great one, doesn't matter what he does. Williams has blown how many four-run leads this year? Two four-run leads. They bring in Weaver with a four-run lead, and everybody's pissed they brought in their closer with a four-run lead. It's not a save situation. Why are you wasting him? They didn't have him the next night. They didn't have him the next night, and Williams almost blew a three-run lead. And everybody was pissed that Weaver wasn't available to close that game. He can't win. He can't win. He brings in his closer to make sure, hey, look, I want this win. We're up by four runs, I know, but Williams has blown four-run leads. I want this win. I'll worry about tomorrow. He brings in the reliever to shut down that game. We're all pissed that the next game save situation, you have to throw Williams, and he almost blows it. So if he wins for today, if he plays and manages for today but doesn't care about tomorrow, what the hell? We needed him today. Tomorrow's just as important. If he treats today not as important as tomorrow, what the hell? Try and win the game today. It doesn't matter. Whatever Boone does, we don't like. That's it. I'm sick of it. I'm not saying he's infallible. I'm not saying he doesn't make mistakes. But it is exhausting. With every time the Yankees lose a game or something goes wrong, it's Boone's fault, bar none. We never blame the players. We say they suck in a broad conversation. We will say this guy sucks, that guy sucks, this guy sucks. But when he actually sucks in the game, it's because Boone put him in a position to suck. It drives me up a wall. This one in particular. For some reason, this one in particular is really driving me crazy. The amount of people who think Boone should have handled the bullpen with more urgency and that Boone should have put in guys and ruined them for Sunday to save a loss drives me nuts. It drives me absolutely crazy. I don't know why, but it does. And that's a perfect example. You bring in Weaver with a four-run lead, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. If you would have brought in Williams and Williams blew the four-run lead, why the hell didn't you bring in Weaver? That's it. When they win the game, he gets no credit. When they lose the game, he gets all the blame. It's obnoxious. You want to know why I like him so much? This is why. Why I defend him so much? This is why. It's not that I love him. It's not that I think he's the greatest manager ever. It's that he's the New York Yankees manager. They win a hell of a lot. I know they haven't won a championship. I know that. And ultimately, that's the goal. And I'm not thrilled with Cashman and Boone right now. They need to win. Agreed. I was ready. If you remember, I openly talked about firing them after 2023. I said, look, Cashman's contract is up. Maybe it's probably best just to move on. The fan base can't stand him. Haven't won in a while. Maybe it's time for a new voice. I was calling for a new general manager and manager at the end of the 23 season. I was. I wasn't very passionate about it. I wasn't like, oh my God, these guys got to go. They're a disaster. We need to move on. But I said, I think it might be best. Now seems like a good time to end this great run with Cashman, at least, and just try something new. That's what I said at the end of 23. They didn't. They stuck with them. They went to the World Series. They're winning again. Every year they win. They win too much to hate them as much as we hate them. Disappointment, frustration, no doubt. The fan base hates them way too much for the level of success we have gotten. Half the fan base is furious with the Knicks for firing Tibbs for five good years. It's been 30 under Brian Cashman, and we still hate him. We hate him. It's ridiculous. Disappointment? Of course. Call him out on certain things? Absolutely. The Josh Donaldson trade? Absolutely a disaster, and that's just one of many. He's not perfect. Boone's not perfect. But why, in specific, why do I like Aaron Boone? Because he gets blamed for everything. Same reason I like Alex Rodriguez, because a lot of the fan base didn't like him. Unfairly. Because he, you know, took a shirt off in Central Park. And because he was awkward in the clubhouse. And because he struggled in the postseason until he won them a World Series in 2009. I like Aaron Boone mainly because I think he does a pretty damn good job. And because everybody hates him for it. That's why he's my guy. And he does a lot of bad things. In 2020, I was furious. I was screaming fire them all after that decision that they pulled with Hap and Garcia. It was ridiculous. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. That was as stupid gets, what they did with Happ and Garcia. It was moronic. They made it seem like we can't beat. They took game one, and then it was like, I don't know if we could beat Tampa straight up. Let's play tricks. Hated it. Blew up in their face. Cost them the series. Disaster. There's plenty of times Boone makes mistakes, but we blame him for everything. I can't take it anymore. We blame him for everything. If a reliever comes in and gives up runs, it's his fault, bar none. Like, honestly, it's every time. It doesn't matter who. It doesn't matter the situation. If they give up runs, he doesn't know how to manage the bullpen. I've never seen anything like it in my life. This year, they have a middle-of-the-pack bullpen ERA. This year, they're 15th in bullpen ERA. I don't think the bullpen's very good. But you want to get on him a little bit this year? A little bit? Okay. Bullpen's been run of the mill. Almost exclusively over the last 3 or 4 years, they have had a top bullpen ERA in baseball almost every single year. And the prevailing thought is he doesn't know how to manage the pen. And yet, they have all of these relievers with an immense amount of success. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he manages all these guys so poorly to have them have such good years. I don't know. It's amazing. It's the Yankees do everything to spite Aaron Boone. It's getting obnoxious. Like, we never blame the player. Same thing with Tibbs now. We look to blame the coaches over and over again. They got pounded by the Boston Red Sox. They gave up how many runs? Everyone who pitched got hammered. It was because he didn't do this fast enough, or because he didn't do this. He waited too long for this. He did this too quick. He should have done that. He should have done this. We all have the answers after it doesn't work. Sitting on our couch, we all have the answers. Oh, I would have done this. I would have done that. I'm telling you right now. If you would have brought in Devin Williams to keep a one-run deficit and they lost 1-0 and now he's not available for Sunday, I would have called you an idiot because that's what an idiot would do. That's what an idiot would do. It just, drives me crazy. 888-808-1009, because the Yankees have legitimate issues and question marks. And right now, you know, Giancarlo Stanton coming back is a good problem to have because it's going to provide more depth for this team. But I'm not sure, you know, what's going to happen with Rice. I'm not sure how they're going to maneuver all this. I know they're going to want to ease Stanton in, but he's too good to just be a left-handed platoon. He's not going to only face left-handed pitching. He's too good, and they need him ready for the postseason. I'm sorry. I don't know about you. Giancarlo Stanton's playing every game in the postseason. He's the DH every single game in the postseason. So you've got to get him ready for October because he's playing. Unless he, and I'm open to changing that once it happens. Like if they get into the ALDS and he's miserable through the first four games and it's nothing but strikeouts, okay. Then I'm hopefully they make it through. And then I'm open to changing things up in the ALCS. But to start the postseason, he's playing every game. I'll figure out how to work Rice and Grisham and Dominguez in this never-ending, you know, juggling act that Boone has to, you know, and do we give him credit for that? No, we complain when guys don't play. Jason Dominguez looks to be, you know, really coming into his own, developing quite well, doing really well. Rice is having an incredible season. Grisham is performing so much better than any of us thought. I know he's cooled off recently, but Grisham is having an incredible season. Rice is having an incredible season. Dominguez is performing really well and hasn't even been discussed defensively. The disaster that was his left field and why aren't they playing him in center? We haven't talked about his defense once in 2 months. Everybody's having good years. Goldschmidt having an incredible resurgent year. He's juggling all these guys and trying to find them time, and they're all having arguably the best years of their careers, some of them. They're all having good years, and some of them are having the best years of their career. Does he get any credit? Does anybody say, wow, Boone's really doing a good job juggling everybody? No. They have their own personal thoughts, and every time a lineup comes out, how the hell is it not him? How the hell is it not him? How the hell is this guy not playing? Over and over and over again, yet all of them are having successful years, and the Yankees are winning, and their offense is the best in the American League. But we don't talk about that. We don't mention that. Don't the players do that? They're supposed to do that. Why would I give the manager credit for success? This team has a $300 million payroll. They're supposed to do all that. Okay. But the minute Grisham starts to trend in the wrong direction and suddenly he's still hitting first, what the hell is Aaron Boone doing? Doesn't he see what we're all seeing? Grisham's struggling here. I know he walked three times in the game yesterday, but still, what is he doing hitting leadoff? It's never ending. It's never ending. They lose a series to the Red Sox, and the reaction is as if they're the team 9 games back. But there are issues with the team. And they're going to need to improve the pitching staff. They're going to need to get another right-handed bat at the trade deadline. They're going to have to try and add Stanton to the juggling mix that Boone's been doing. It's not going to be easy, but ultimately it means better players and a better bench and more options, more pinch hit options. But right now, the bullpen for the next 4 weeks or so without Weaver is really compromised. And not only are they short a man, but everyone seems to be in the worst stretch of the season. Cruz, who started out dominant, is in the worst stretch of his season. Ian Hamilton hasn't really pitched well all year, but particularly, you know, he had 3 decent outings prior to this, but before that was like 2 in a row that were really bad. Now he throws you this stinker out there. Hill hasn't been as good. I know he got out of that incredible jam the other game, but he's consistently kind of given that. That's the first hit against the as a Yankee pitcher with the bases loaded he's ever given up. Batters were 0-14 with the bases loaded until Duran gave up that hit. He gave up that hit to Duran the other day. Like, he hasn't been as good as last year. Cruz hasn't been as good as he was at the start of the year. Like, Leiter's still been good, and Devin Williams is improving. Like, that's it. Jonathan Loaisiga's not nearly as good as we had hoped, as he's still kind of getting his foot wet after not pitching for an entire year pretty much. So, like, right now, not only are they down Weaver, but a lot of their guys happen to be in the midst of struggles. It is going to be very interesting how they get through this tough time. Like, they're going through good playoff teams here. They got Kansas City coming up. Now, they're not world beaters, but they're throwing really good starting pitching at the Yankees. So I could see a lot of bullpen games. And right now, the bullpen's short and in slumps. It's going to be a very interesting time to see how the Yankees handle all this. But, you know, none of that matters. We all know who's going to be at fault when they lose any of these games. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Chris, listen to you fight off all these irrational Yankee fans. It's like the National Geographic special, like, used to watch, like, the Lions fighting off a pack of hyenas in the wild, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
It's like, nah, I mean, yeah, it's, you know, maybe he was intimidated looking across the dugout to the great Alex Cora. Maybe that's what
the maybe great Alex Cora. Whoever, I got, after my rant on Saturday about Alex Cora, I had a bunch of people hit me up and saying, see, he's managing circles around Aaron Boone. What did Alex Cora do?
He didn't do anything.
I'm on your side.
Look, I'm a Mets fan. I'm a Mets fan. I can't stand the Yankees. I root against the nature, and I told you this.
Yep.
But because of that, I can be very objective about them. They're a damn good baseball team, and I hate to say it. They're a well-run organization. Cashman is a terrific GM. The guy's done almost the team. Who else in 20 years has a winning team every year and has them in position? It's almost an impossible situation. I understand the Yankee fans' frustrations of not winning the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, as a Mets fan, we're trying to make the playoffs 3 out of 4 years for the first time ever. We had the beginnings of what you guys are trying to get.
Mm-hmm.
And when I just laugh when I go through, I know maybe you don't pay attention as much as the Mets Twitter. It's the same thing. After the last Dodger loss, they were killing Mendoza because he didn't take out Garrett to pitch against Conforto and bring in a lefty.
Yeah.
An all-star relief pitcher against a guy called Conforto who hasn't had a hit in 3 weeks.
Yep.
It's insane.
And who specialized in getting out of jams. He just got out of an incredible jam two nights before.
You know, you got to remember, and I said this, and I say to myself, I'm not going to do this anymore. I get into beefs on people, too. My wife gets mad at me. I can't help it. I can't get sucked into it. But we're talking about managers who live with these guys, who travel with these guys, who are watching the game in front of them, who have every stat known to man at their fingertips, a bench coach next to them, a pitching coach, and we're going to pretend we know how to make better decisions than them.
It's so true. It doesn't mean we can't be critical or play the game. It's what we do here.
Of course.
But it's so true that the idea that this is, like, we just heard about it with Tibbs, too. It's so obvious. Like, the adjustments are just so obvious. I know Tibbs is missing the obvious. Boone's missing the obvious. You know better from your couch. It just drives me nuts.
Exactly. I'm not a basketball guy. I mean, I'm a Knicks fan, but I live and die with baseball. I think I know a little bit of stuff, and I've watched it all my life. But, you know, so I don't know. And the obnoxious manner, if he would have brought this guy in, he definitely would have got. How do you know that?
No.
How do you know the next guy who came in was going to get out? You 100% certainty that they always have.
Yeah, no, 100%. The second guess, and thank you for the call, Tommy, the second guess would have always worked. There's no doubt. If Tim Hill comes into the World Series game one, the Yankees win that. The Yankees win. There's no doubt about it. That's just it. 100%. Tim Hill comes in to face Ohtani, they win. 100%. When we all know that, we don't know. Now that we have the hindsight of what happened in the game, sure, why not? Hell, throw anybody on there. Anybody but Cortez. Let Verdugo come in and pitch. Can't be worse. They lost the game. And it's not just Aaron Boone. I'm going off on Aaron Boone because it's the one I feel the most passionate about. But it links in with the Tibbs stuff. It does. We blame the coach for everything, man. It's always the coach. It's never the players. We'll tell you the players suck. And we'll tell you the GM has done a terrible job putting the players together. But in the moment, when it actually happens in front of us, it's that they weren't put in the right position. It's that the manager made a mistake. It's never just, man, can this guy ever come through? Nope. Unless it's a star, unless it's Aaron Judge, then we can blame Aaron Judge. But, like, if it's a lesser player or a bullpen reliever, it's because he wasn't put in the right situation. How could the manager do that? It's crazy. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Especially this series with Boone in the bullpen. I mean, it's amazing to me. People honestly said, like, Aaron Boone loses the Yankees 6-7 games. I've already counted. This is the fifth game he's lost. They never had the lead. They're losing the whole game. Ryan Yarbrough got his ass kicked. You're going to tell me that the manager lost the game. Not just you disagree with the call. The manager lost them the game. They would have won if another manager was managing the game. When Ryan Yarbrough got his ass kicked and they were losing the entire game. The reason they lost is the manager's bullpen decisions while they were losing the entire time. That counts on the bracket of games the manager lost them? I mean, they were losing the whole game.
We all know if the Yankees were able to hold on, they scored all the early runs against Crochet.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Yankees got a great pitching effort on Saturday, that would have been Cora's loss. Like, that's on him.
Right, exactly.
His
right.
best starting pitcher gave up runs.
Right, exactly.
That's on him.
Why would, yeah,
not that Yarbrough is obviously the Yankees' best starting pitcher, but
yeah.
Starting pitcher gets tattooed. It's on you.
It's on you. It's everything on you. And Ryan Yarbrough is an interesting question moving forward. He obviously gets another start, maybe even two more starts. But it was always, I don't think any Yankee fan really ever felt like, oh, we found an answer. Ryan Yarbrough is going to pitch to a 2.3 ERA the rest of the year. Like, they're lucky they got what they got from him. So hopefully Luis Hill's coming back, and hopefully there are some arms at the deadline, because you can't count on Ryan Yarbrough being as good as he's been over the last.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Last month.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 235 on the Fan. McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019. Opened it up to a little bit of baseball. If you want to call in with your Aaron Boone stuff, your Yankees stuff. We did a little bit on the Mets yesterday with Pete Alonso. And obviously they're coming off a series against the Colorado Rockies, arguably the worst baseball team we've ever seen, but they did what you had to do, and they took all six games, including the last three here, and Pete Alonso has reawoken. Not that he was ever sleeping necessarily, but the home runs were down a little bit. But he came through in every clutch situation, just every single one from Friday night on. Big home runs, big blasts. The team struggled with still struggling with runners in scoring position at times. Certainly Friday night, even early Saturday, struggled with runners in scoring position. And yet they're getting just enough from their guys. You're getting just enough from Pete Alonso, just enough from Lindor, even with the pinky toe. He comes through with the big hit, pinch hit on Friday night to win them that game. Obviously, Soto is more than starting to come out of his slump, on base six times in the Sunday game. Mauricio and what he's brought, and Fleegs, we got to be honest, even McNeil hitting home runs, having good at-bats, playing well. The Met offense is struggling at times with runners in scoring position, but they're getting enough because of the pitching, which continues to be just outrageous. Who's you got Cannon going tonight, who is exhibit A for me in this pitching lab that just never stops. All you have to do is just get a couple of... It's easy to still continue to win the way they have, which I think right now they have the most wins in baseball. They have the best home record in baseball. They now have built... what did the Phillies win last night? They did not. Wow, the Phillies suck. Oh, they did. I thought you said they didn't. I'm sorry. The Phillies are just, you know, after, you know, I know they won last night, but they are just really struggling here. They lost 9 out of 10 prior to last night. The Mets have built a division lead here, feeling good. And so at least the conversation about Pete Alonso, which I had a little bit yesterday. And my only point is, I want Pete on the Mets. And I know we all do. And right now he's having an MVP-type season, and that seems crazy that a Scott Boras client having an MVP-type season, who's clearly not going to opt into the rest of his contract. He'd be nuts, because I think this free agency is completely different. And I was listening to Joe Beningo on Saturday before my Saturday show, and he just, you know, blatantly screams every once in a while, sign him now, sign Pete now. And I think it's just because he wants Pete to be a Met, and so he wants it to happen as soon as possible. But I actually think that it could make some sense for both sides, because I don't know. My only concern is, I don't know how David Stearns feels about Pete Alonso. I'll be totally honest with you. Not that he hates him or whatever, but I think you could take a little bit and glean a little bit into his thinking on Pete Alonso with the way they handled the trade, the free agency last year. Now, look, there was no secondary market for him. Nobody else wanted him. At the same level, the Mets were willing to pay him, clearly, no doubt. So there was no impetus to show great interest in signing Pete. They didn't have to sign him. So I'll take that for what it's worth. But at the same time, I just, knowing David Stearns and how he likes to operate, and they talk about long-term contracts, I just don't know if he, like, to me, and I've said this all year, and now he's outperformed anything I thought he would perform. Like, he's even better than I would have thought when I said, if Pete has a great year, it's beyond that. It's so good. He's in the conversation for MVP right now, if not the front runner to be the MVP in the league. He leads the league in RBIs. He's hitting 300. His OPS is just a smidge under 1,000. 17 home runs, and being as clutch as you could possibly be. And his defense has really improved. But I just don't know how, like, a part of me thinks, and I said this to start the year, and I still feel this way, that a part of me thinks that if Pete opts out, David Stearns is going to tell the owner, hey, look, we just got the best of Pete Alonso. Like, do you really want to give Pete a 7-year contract? Do you really want to give Pete a 6-7-year deal for big-time money, long-term contract, and lock him in? I know he's going to hit a bunch of home runs. He's already passed David Wright. He's going to pass Darryl Strawberry. Like, he's going to win awards and maybe and be an all-time great, and who knows? If he hits, I don't know how 500 home runs is viewed anymore, but you could be talking about a guy putting on a Met, a Met cap in the Hall of Fame. But I just don't know how Stearns feels about it. He is right now, and here's the, like, Stearns has an opinion. Stearns has a way of running the team. And right now, his opinion and his way of running it has come up aces in almost every turn. He has a way of building the pitching staff. He doesn't want to add high price free agents. What do you? Burns is available. Burns is available. No, I'm not going to sign Burns. Instead, I'm going to sign Griffin Canning, get a just as good a year out of Burns, and now Burns just has had elbow surgery. Like, Like, this is what he believes in, and I just have this feeling, sneaking suspicion, that he does not believe in giving long-term money to Pete Alonso. Not necessarily the money, because we all know the owner can afford it, but a long-term contract. And if they can talk now, and Pete can lock in, be a Met, right now he's about as happy as you can be being a Met, loves the team, loves the way he's playing, wants nothing else, and I believe that. I'm not trying to say it's disingenuous. Pete wants to be a Met. I don't think there's any doubt. He desperately wants to be a Met. And they can try that in free agency and see if he'll take a hometown discount. And I'm sure on some level he would take a small one. But all the circumstances, the year he's having, to me it proves that he's not trending in the wrong direction. You know what kind of guarantee he is, even on bad years now. He doesn't have any picks attached to him. And the idea that first basemen don't get paid when he got $30 million last year and Vladimir Guerrero got his contract, I think you could see a trend in the different direction about the money first basemen get. I just think it's all pointing towards a very big free agency for Pete Alonso. And if it comes to 7-8 years, maybe Pete will take less years, maybe he won't. But right now, if you say, hey, look, opt in to the next two that we have for you, and I'll give you another two on top of that at big money, I would try and talk to Pete now. And he's the right kind of guy, even though he's a Boris client, that could be interested in making a deal right now, solidifying himself as a Met for the next handful of years, not having to worry about all this, and just continue on trying to win a championship with the team. I just think now wouldn't be a terrible time, because that contract is going to be enormous. And I just and especially Stearns, knowing he could have signed him to a much lesser long-term deal last year, is going to be kicking himself when he has to give him this major deal a year later, a year older, despite coming off an incredible season. I just think it's a tricky situation. But what's not tricky is what he means to the team right now. And they go to take the Nationals on, come home to take on the Nationals for the next three before taking on the Tampa Bay Rays. And this team coming off this little stretch where they've played very well and they've beaten the worst and they've beaten the best. I know they split against the Dodgers, but that's good enough for me, as they've taken the season series and won the tiebreaker. And right now this Met team continues to pitch great. The bullpen has had its moments, but still Reed Garrett's kind of coming into, I know he gave up a couple runs, but he pulled off one hell of a Houdini act against the Dodgers early on. They're pitching well. The starting rotation continues to be incredible. You know, another really good start from Clay Holmes. Griffin Canning, I'm sure, will pitch well tonight off of pitching unbelievably well against the Dodgers. I mean, he was incredible in that game. He was locating. The changeup was back. The slider. Like, Griffin Canning has just been great. Peterson has been really good. Even McGill, what was he, throwing a no-hitter for how long? I mean, even he's struggled at times, but you look at his last start, and then the start before that where he gives up runs early against the Dodgers and then settles in and still gives them length. Like, the rotation's been incredible. They got Paul Blackburn, who had one great start against the Dodgers, you know, in the bullpen at any moment. Sanga's pitching to sub-2 ERA. I mean, right now it's the Mets pitching. I have a hard time talking about the Mets without focusing on how well they're pitching. The Pete Alonso conversation is something different. Obviously, we know, you know, we'll see how Lindor, he's been fine so far. We'll see if this broken pinky toe hampers him at all. I mean, really, the conversation is, now that we start talking about the deadline and what they want to look to improve, and, you know, Francisco Alvarez and Luis Torrens, and how much of a platoon this is really going to become, because Alvarez continues to struggle. Mauricio, who struggled, what was he, 0-for-8 in his first 8 appearances and then his first 8 at-bats, and then hit the double off the wall late Friday night, and then had a fantastic rest of the series, including one of the longer home runs you'll ever see. I think the longest home run of the Mets season so far. But as we get ready for, you know, this push now that we're into the middle of June pretty much, and we're a month away from the All-Star break, a month and a couple weeks away, 6 weeks away from the trade deadline, you start to really get an idea for what your team is, who you are. And right now, I think both teams are clearly the best in their division, with a couple of holes that they could easily plug at the deadline. Doesn't have to be great, doesn't have to be a superstar, just a little bit of improvement. And they got guys coming back. You got Manaea coming back. You got Montas coming back. We'll see how long Siri is away from coming back. You've already added one young kid in Jesse Winker, even, right? Jesse Winker coming back. I mean, this Met team is extremely solid right now. And to me, it's the pitching staff that holds them together. It's remarkable. But the Pete Alonso situation, it's going to be one of the more fascinating free agencies because of what it was last. It's going to be the polar opposite. I'm not saying he's going to get Juan Soto money or have that kind of a free agency, but I think the numbers are going to be wildly different. Wildly different for a bunch of different circumstances. And if David Stearns gets the idea that the owner is going to say, I don't care, we're bringing back Pete, there's a chance Pete could win the first MVP in franchise history, lead them to, who knows, a championship. I mean, right now the fan base might not tolerate losing Pete. And if I'm Stearns and I know the owner is going to tell me that at the end of the year, I'm going to try and do everything I can to see what I can talk to him now. Because I just don't know how Stearns feels about the long, long-term deal. And that's what it might get into. Not that they can't keep him. Not that the money isn't there or that the owner might say, screw it, whatever he wants, pay the man. He's earned it. We questioned it. We gave him the short-term deal. He's earned this contract. Give it to him. And that might be what the owner tells. I'm not saying he can't stay. I'm just saying I don't know how comfortable Stearns is going to be with it. So I would try and talk to him now and see if you can get Pete Alonso to say, hey, I can lock up my Met career for the next 5 or 6 years. I'll take it now. As opposed to seeing where the bidding war goes, because I think the bidding war is going to be dramatically different than it was last year.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
All right. 253, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. So we didn't really talk too much about Aaron Rodgers signing his contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers and setting up a huge week number one Steelers Jets, which should be a lot of fun. But I have to admit, like, I'm seeing a lot of reaction from the Pittsburgh Steeler fan. Apparently, is extremely negative about this signing. I don't understand. Like, I honestly don't understand how a Pittsburgh Steeler fan who hasn't had a damn quarterback in this building or with that team since Ben Roethlisberger is going to complain that they're not playing, I don't know, Rudolph, or they're not playing, they didn't keep Justin Fields, or they didn't do all this, and they went and took a shot with Aaron Rodgers. What the quarterbacks that they could have played, you know what you're getting. The Pittsburgh Steeler fan has been upset at the level of mediocrity that this team has had for a decade now, and not winning playoff games, and questioning Tomlin's ability, and you know everything that's gone on, when they've been the most or as stable as any franchise in the sport. They have just plugged away at winning 8 or 9 games, making it to the playoffs, and then losing. And you've done it with the run-of-the-mill quarterbacks over and over and over again. Why on earth? Not that there was a lot of better options. It's not like you passed on a ton of really good quarterbacks to do this. You're bringing in Aaron Rodgers, one of the great quarterbacks to ever play. And I know his struggles last year, and I understand that, and I understand the problems he could be, but you have one of the more, like, strong leaders in the NFL as your head coach. If you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, you're disappointed you didn't go with some slop at the quarterback position as opposed to trying Aaron Rodgers and seeing if you can actually elevate to being one of the better teams in the NFL if you get lucky with how Rodgers plays, or if he's healthier a year removed from the Achilles injury. I don't get it. I don't know how any Pittsburgh Steelers fan isn't anything but thrilled. What, it's a one-year deal. If it doesn't work out, it costs you what? What were you going to be this year with the quarterback options out there? Like, I don't understand the pessimism. And I'm just excited to have him back in the league. I'm glad he didn't go away. And I'll be honest with you, as we're hearing, you know, Russell Wilson, and as a Giant fan, I'll be honest with you, as Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston and all this stuff doesn't matter, throwing picks. You know, the last report was that Dart didn't have a great day. It's hard for me to get hung up on football at the moment. We got a lot going on with the Knicks. We got the baseball. But I still wish, I can tell you right now, three different people, as a Giants fan, as a casual Jet fan, which I have been my whole life, believe it or not, I've never hated the Jets, other than that I want to beat them during the Rex Ryan era, sure. But football's so different, and I watch both New York teams that I don't know how you can't be a pseudo fan of both teams. I don't know. I guess the Giants are the big brother. They've won the championships. It's not the same dynamic as Yankees Mets, but I suppose I could understand a Jets fan who doesn't like the Giants. I don't know why. I certainly don't understand a Giants fan who hates the Jets. Like, to me, I know they share a building, but typically, I know the last handful of years it's been different where they both will play at 1 o'clock, but typically one's at 1, one's at 4. I watch both games while I monitor the rest of the NFL, and I know the last 17 years I've been doing this, so I've kind of been forced to, but I feel like I would have been doing it anyway. So as a Giant fan, I wish he was the Giants quarterback right now. As a Jets pseudo fan observer, I wish he was the Jets quarterback right now. And as a sports media member of WFAN, sports radio host here in New York, I wish to God he was one of those two. Like I don't know how you can be pessimistic or upset as a Steelers fan. I saw Steelers burning jerseys or whatever, like crazy. Are you nuts?
Those people have been spoiled for at least 20 years going back to Roethlisberger. Yeah. Probably their entire history with the three head coaches. They're
amazing.
Good forever.
Yeah.
The people calling for a year of watching Mason Rudolph with no real understanding of what that would look like, they unfortunately deserved a
Absolutely.
Full year of watching him that they're not going to get.
I know. That's crazy. I can't imagine a Steelers fan being disappointed. If they would have had egg in their face and he retired, then I would have been pissed at the organization. Then I would have been like, what are you guys doing? Like, you just let this guy string us along, and then he retires, and now where the hell are we at the quarterback position? Then I'm pissed. The minute he signs the contract, I'm dancing a jig, and I'm doing ayahuasca. Like, I'm thrilled that the guy is the quarterback of the team. Like I said, the Steeler fan has been pissed off about mediocrity for forever. Now you're interesting. Now you're interesting with a chance of one of the great quarterbacks in the NFL maybe finding himself and leading you. You got to go out and compete against the Baltimore Ravens. You got to go compete against Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. You got one of the more you got the toughest division in football, arguably. You want to go at it with Mason Rudolph? Because he's less of a headache and drama? You're nuts, man. I seriously, if you know a Steelers fan who's not happy, slap him across. I actually shouldn't say that. Don't do that. Don't hit anybody. You know, I was just kidding. But be very angry with him. I couldn't tell if that look was like, oh, come on, were you afraid to say it, or you shouldn't have said it to begin with?
No, you could say it to begin with. It was okay. The backtracking.
Yeah, backtracking.
But you're advocating violence, just as long as you're aware of advocating violence.
I would never advocate violence. Playfully.
Playfully advocate violence?
No, playfully. Slap playfully? I don't know. Fake slap. Give them the old, you know, like the Three Stooges slap.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Is that the glove slap? Is that like the
challenge them to a duel? Dual slap? Yeah.
Yeah.
Give them a dual slap. Or just call them an idiot. Because I can't imagine a Pittsburgh Steelers fan who is annoyed by this.
They're annoyed by everything. Have you met a Steelers fan? They're honestly.
Chris Carlin is the only one I can think of off the top of my head.
Fleegs is right, though, because you've been spoiled literally your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
They're pissed off that they're not winning Super Bowls
right. And
going to the playoffs and losing in the first round. You have no idea how hard that is.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know so many fans of both Pennsylvania cities because of where I went to school.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh fan with the Steelers, like the stuff they complain about, how spoiled they are, mm-hmm. when like I'm as a Jet fan watching nothing ever.
Yeah.
And even at the time, this is before the Eagles won their Super Bowl, so the Eagles fans would also be like, what's wrong with you people?
Right.
And then, I mean, Philly's just the dumbest sports fans on the planet, so that is what it is. But the Steelers fan, because, I mean, the Pirates are a joke. The Penguins are good. They just... They're so afraid of mediocrity that they can't even confront, like with Mason Rudolph, you wouldn't be mediocre. You would suck.
Yeah. No, so you've talked to your buddies. Are they the Steelers fans? Are they pissed off about
this? They all
this?
Hate it.
Yep. Oh, my God.
The only silver lining, if you talk to a Steelers fan, maybe this will finally get Mike Tomlin fired.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Marco's right. That is what they're thinking. The like, well, finally, Tomlin could be gone after this.
Because they've been tired of him for 10 years.
Yeah, crazy.
And again, I'm not, look, I understand.
No, there's a level.
There is, but, because the Yankee fans, same thing where you say, it's not good enough just to go to the playoffs every year to get bounced. You're right. You got to take a next step.
Of course.
But they're trying to take these steps. You make it seem like, you know, quarterbacks, just franchise quarterbacks, they grow on trees.
Uh-huh.
And we haven't had one since Roethlisberger. What was that, six years ago?
Yeah.
7 years ago? I know that's a long time for you.
I know.
But in reality, 5 years without a franchise quarterback, and you still had a Hall of Famer in between who's at the tail end, and you had another Hall of Famer who's at the tail end.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be worse. It could be worse.
Yeah, of course. And that's the main thing I don't understand is if you're tired of mediocrity, why not take a swing? What's the worst thing that could happen? Take a swing at possibly being better than that. They didn't have another option. It's not like they had a better option than him to take it. You knew what you were going to be with Fields. You knew what you were going to be with Russell Wilson. You knew what you were going to be with Mason Rudolph.
Well, there are a lot of Steeler fans that will tell you Justin Fields was the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And they messed it up.
The coach didn't go back to him after, you know, Russell was really struggling down the stretch, which was surprising to me. But
they think the coach has totally run his course and needs to be gone, too.
Yeah.
So they'll blame him.
Yeah.
A coach who has never had a losing season.
Mm-hmm. In the NFL.
When we find out, you know, 7 out of every 8 NFL coaches that gets hired is completely in over his head, no idea what to do.
Right. It's true. It's crazy. When I saw this, I couldn't understand it. How the Pittsburgh Steelers fans are pissed about this, I'll never understand. I'm excited. I just can't. Listen, I know he's crazy, and you don't have to like him, and he says a bunch of different stuff, but, man, the league is just, it would be less fun without Aaron Rodgers. Week one, certainly around here, would be a hell of a lot less fun. Like I want Rodgers in the league.
Every Steelers game certainly would be less fun.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch Mason Rudolph.
No.
I know what Mason Rudolph is.
Yeah.
He is a bad backup quarterback.
Yeah.
They love Mason Rudolph in Pittsburgh. They love him.
Oh, my
they
God.
Love him.
It's crazy.
He's right. They do. They have this crazy,
he's the epitome
like how
of...
we all have fascinations with these players.
Right.
Oh, you don't know what this guy could be. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Since Myles Garrett was swinging a helmet at him, is that like the thing that kind of like galvanized the fan base around him?
He epitomizes the gritty, tough Pittsburgh persona.
Yeah.
Steel City, he's the guy that nobody, you know, believes in, but he can still win games and no matter what, he's still going to get you in the playoffs. He could get you over the top. Stop. It's because you see him in spurts of 2-3. See him for a season. Believe me, you change your tune.
It's like when New York football fans fall in love with a guy because of how he played in the preseason.
Right.
Or garbage time.
Yeah.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.